Brothers and sisters, let us begin our opening scripture from the Old Testament, Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You have laid buckets at our backs. You let people ride over our hearts. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Our second scripture continues where we left off in the Gospel of John, John 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the good news. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Wondrous and gracious God, we come on this Lord's Day under pressing and strange circumstances. We seek assurance of hope and comfort. We seek to see and know that you are with us through these trying and very testing times. We know, Lord, that whatever steps we take, you are with us, watching over us and caring for us and holding us tightly. Continue to be with us, Lord. Continue to walk with us and keep us. In your blessed and wondrous name we pray. Amen. Hope. Hope and care is what Jesus is bringing to the disciples in this moment. Hope that though he is going elsewhere, he is not going to abandon them. We are a people of hope. And yet we are struggling to see hope currently. Sure, areas north of us and west are opening up, are returning to what they believe is a sense of normal and what would be. But we are required to maintain a little more patience, to remain a little longer. Brothers and sisters, we must trust in God and remember that hope must be kept alive in our hearts. And so hold on to hope that we will be together again. Now, when John left us last time, Jesus was preparing the disciples for the very difficult time that is to come when he would go to the cross, die, and then rise again. Now, when you really think about it, there is not just one particular moment that connects to what Jesus is talking about. There's not just one point on the compass, so to speak. Because Jesus is also discussing the time that would come later, and the times that would come even later than that. Because Jesus is not just going to be gone for just those 3 days. He is going to ascend to the Father after all this is done. And so, brothers and sisters, one of the difficulties that we have is understanding that God is with us always. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not just talking about the ordeal that is immediately to come, but the ordeal that is to come even further. He's preparing the greater plan and strategy for the church for the time and days to come. It's one of those moments which many of us have seen in our lives when someone knows something more, when someone is aware of something beyond the immediate moment. I think specifically today, as yesterday was the anniversary of my grandfather's passing, of going to see him that last time, and later understanding that his goodbye was not just a normal goodbye. His goodbye was more of a farewell. That's the thing. There are moments when others understand more. And Jesus, above all else, understands more of what is going to be than the disciples understand, even if they do understand. Jesus has seen the more immediate trauma of the garden, but also the trials and trauma that comes well after he ascends. And so he is instructing with sadness, yes. This is also a bittersweet moment because Jesus realizes how close things are. He knows that these brothers and sisters of his, these followers who he's talking to, he will see only a few times more. But really, we need to deal today with that opening statement from Jesus, that opening salvo, so to speak. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, we could talk about what those commandments are and list off the whole 10 commandments. We could even delve deeply into the teachings of the Pharisees and the scribes and how those commandments were more fleshed out and given flesh on the bones later. We could even discuss our reading of the law this morning and how Christ gives us that commandment to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And that second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. We could even go into other scriptures, like Micah 6:8. He has told you, mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. We could go on and on about what those commandments are. But one word boils all of those commandments down to one. One word. Obedience. But that obedience is part of a dance, part of a arrangement, a two-step, a two-part dance between love and obedience with God. Love and obedience must walk together as we follow God. Love and obedience must dance together in our lives, keeping them in balance and working together and having both and not one without the other. You see, that is one of the difficulties, is the balance of love and obedience. Think of a moment where there is not obedience, but only love of God. That supposed love is not complete. It is only a partial love. Think of the people of Israel timelessly walking through the wilderness, constantly falling away. When the time of the judges came, the Israelites were continually unfaithful to God. They had love of God, but continually, habitually, were unfaithful to God. They sought, but were too selfish to obey. They were too selfish and too unwilling to sacrifice for God's love. God's love means giving of ourselves in order to follow. It means being willing to give up so that we can be God's people. When you talk about loving someone, say a mother, and you don't ever communicate, you don't ever see them, you don't ever even talk to them, is that love? If you don't exist with that person, is it love? But then comes the component of obedience, and again we turn to the people of Israel, because one of their great difficulties was obedience for the sake of love of obedience. It's a temptation that we must not fall victim to, but have fallen victim to over history, when one loves obedience more than the one who is being obeyed. Think of those Pharisees who loved the law so much that they could not see the love of God that was more necessary. The people of Israel had forgotten that it was God who gave the law, that it was God who blessed them in its giving, and they loved the law more than the God who gave it. They failed to love God. Love and obedience work hand in hand as we serve God. Our love of God should lead us to follow and lead us to obey what God has commanded. And our acts of obedience should show forth the love that we have for God, walking and working hand in hand together. It's a dance. It might not be, because we are human, the prettiest dance that could be. Maybe it's like that really awfully dancing uncle at a wedding. We know who that is. Or maybe it's that moment during the reception when either the father or mother of the bride or groom dances with their child. It's seldom a very pretty thing, but it is absolutely beautiful. Sometimes dad looks like he was made with two left feet. Sometimes he looks like he doesn't even have one left foot. The fact of the matter is, there is that dance that is beautiful in its imperfection. And that is our dance of love and obedience. It is by no means perfect. It is in no way perfect. But it is still beautiful as we seek to show our love of God, as we seek to obey God. The ability to keep the commandments and love God are intertwined. They go together like pastrami and rye bread, like peanut butter and jelly, like kids and an aversion to doing homework. You must have them together. You must have them working together. It doesn't always mean that they will both be at their best. It doesn't mean that they will be in balance. But it does mean that they are together and working together. You see, here God isn't just giving the disciples the command to obey and love. Jesus is giving them something more. Jesus is giving them a comforter, a helper, an advocate, as he says. An advocate which we know as the Holy Spirit. Here we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. In just 2 weeks, we will have together Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is coming. The day we celebrate the gift of the Spirit, but today we hear Christ promise the Spirit. Today Christ assures the disciples of the Comforter who will be. And so, brothers and sisters, let me invite you in 2 weeks on the 31st. To bring your geraniums and place them outside on the steps of the church. Because we remember Pentecost. The fact is that we do not have to face this alone. Think about what it means to go forth and face something on your own. The reality is, none of us should ever be able to say that we have ever faced something truly, truly on our own, because every step of our way has been knowingly and supported. Christ promises us that we are not alone and have the advocate with us. We might feel alone and feel that we have to face these trials on our own, but the truth is, we do not. Think about that. Christ assures us, tells us, promises us that we will be given the advocate to be with us forever. Treasure and remember these two statements from this. The first is that Christ has promised it. Christ has promised it. It's one thing for a human being to work at and try and promise something, to make a covenant with others. But it is something far, far more and far, far greater when it is Christ who promises. Christ whose word will not and does not fail. And the second part is the advocate is not promised to us only on good days. Only on days when it's sunshine and blue skies like yesterday. But also on gray days and rainy days and horrible days. The advocate is promised to us. In these early statements from Scripture today, we have a call and a promise. A call to love God and obey God's commandments. The promise that we have a Spirit with us, the Advocate with us, standing beside us through whatever trials come. Not just today and tomorrow, but forever. Brothers and sisters, this is not a time when we face these trials and struggles alone. This is not a time when we should have to seek to do things without assistance and help. The fact is, we have the Advocate with us. We have our brothers and sisters standing beside us, struggling with us, caring with us. Christ has promised that we will never be orphaned, and we are not. The fact is, these three things, obedience, love, and the Advocate, will help us and keep us as we wait for some form of normalcy and a more fuller existence to come. But remember that God calls us to love. God commands us to follow and obey. But most of all, we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us, watching over us, caring for us, and keeping us. And so lean on that Advocate. Lean on one another at a distance and be patient, because we will be through this.